Good evening, folks, and welcome into One-on-One's NFL Friday podcast. As we enter the last few weeks of the show, and this now the divisional playoff round of the NFL playoffs, Ricky Sobrano across from Colin Henderson, filling in for Mike John Domenico. I don't think me and Mike have actually done the show in, what, about a month now?
Something like that.
Oh, well, whatever. I'm sure everybody will live.
I've just been filling in nonstop. I'm like the best sub ever.
We might
ever.
As well call it the Colin Henderson
show. I really am like the best sub ever. That's really how it works.
You're basically the only constant in the last few weeks. So.
I'm like the Mariano Rivera of coming into
the closer. I would say the super sub.
The super sub?
The super sub.
What is the super sub? Okay, I'm trying to think
of
an
example of a super sub.
I'm trying to think of a super sub. Oh, Lamar.
Amit says Jared Jeffries. He's dead wrong on that. Jared Jeffries sucks.
Oh, Amit. Starting off on a bad foot there.
Maybe Darren Sproles or somebody like that is
a super
sub.
Yeah, all right, I'll take that.
I can deal with that.
And I'm incredibly short, too, so that works out well.
No, I think you're actually like an inch or two taller than Darren Sproles.
Yeah, which is...
Probably.
Which only makes me feel...
He's not like 75 pounds on you.
Which, by the way, makes me feel less impressive because...
He's in the NFL.
At least that way I can always say like, oh, look, I'm 5'8". Like, I mean, there's no way I can make it. And then guys like Sproles and Ray
it's
Rice
like five
come
foot
in.
Two.
I'm like, oh, thanks, guys. Thanks, guys, for making me look like that.
To be fair, though, Ray Rice, I think his thighs are about as tall as you are.
Yes.
If you stood him up on their side.
Yes,
probably.
No, I'm not denying that in the slightest, yeah.
Anyway, after that little tangent about Ray Rice's thighs and Darren Sproles being vertically challenged, this week has been an interesting one. We're going to lead off actually with the Jets, because the Jets, even though they haven't been playing football for 2 weeks now, or this will be the second week they're not playing football, as usual, they're still in the news, because there's always things going on in Jets land.
Well, as long as they have mouths, they're always going to be in the news.
Yeah, that's very true. Unless somebody has a zipper, they can put across. Actually, this one isn't even Rex Ryan's fault,
this is
really.
This is actually...
It's just the team in general, and then some loudmouthed players in the locker room. But anyway, the Jets, Brian Schottenheimer resigns. I shouldn't say he's fired, although it's very tempting to say he was fired. Who walks away from $3 million, no matter how much you're hated in New York? And they bring in Tony Sperano, or Tony, don't call me Soprano Sperano, if you prefer. The ex-Dolphins head coach. He's now their offensive coordinator. All right, that's a little bit sketchy. And on top of that, half the team decides to take shots at Sanchez. Anonymously, of course. Which makes it even better. So first things first, Tony Sperano as the Jets offensive coordinator now. Here's a guy, your 25-year-old franchise quarterback is struggling. So what do? You go out and get a guy whose specialty is the Wildcat. All right? It's a little bit odd. I would have figured that they would go out and get a quarterback guru. Well, that would make a lot more sense. But Sperano, here's a guy who's only called plays once in his entire career. That was with Dallas about 5 years back. I don't know if this is the greatest hiring in the world for the Jets.
This is an awful hiring for the Jets. I mean,
well, you summed it up
because
nice.
Just because of how much this team has gone through with Schottenheimer not meshing with Sanchez, the offense having no real identity. So what do you do? All right, so we have a young quarterback who definitely needs some type of coaching. We are a run first team that can't run the ball anymore. And we have some wide receivers, but they're not being utilized in the offense. So we're going to go out and we're going to get a guy who has really no experience calling an offensive game, who cares nothing about, who cannot help the quarterback in any way, shape, or form, and whose specialty really is bringing the Wildcat in, which Rex Ryan loves, but the Jets have no one to run it now that Brad Smith isn't there.
Yeah.
So what I don't understand
what
this thinking.
Here?
I don't understand this thinking in the slightest. There's
the logic here is
good
that
for them.
Rex Ryan loves the ground and pounds. Always loved it. That's what he wants to do offensively, and he loves the Wildcat too. So basically, instead of bringing in a quarterback guru to try to help his struggling young quarterback, franchise quarterback, who all of a sudden is on everybody's you know what list right now, he goes out and gets a guy who will run the ball 60 to 70% of the time. They'll do the Wildcat, they'll do these gimmicks and whatnot, and basically they'll just play ball control offense again.
Now look, I have no problem with the Jets being a run-first team. This team is built to be a run-first team. It worked really well for them the last two seasons, not this one. Hmm. The previous two seasons worked really well, number one in the rushing in both of those years. I mean, this team is built to be a run-first team, and I have no problem with that. Run-first teams do very good things. They control the clock. They establish long drives. They can break any play. I mean, it's really and I have no problem with that, especially with the young quarterback. It makes a couple more people step up into the box, gives him some more room, allows him to play action. It works out well for a young quarterback. But Sanchez isn't that young quarterback anymore. He's been in the league 3 years. At some point, someone, I don't care if it's Rex Ryan or if it's now Sperano or whatever, someone needs to sit down and go, what is Mark Sanchez to us? Is he our franchise quarterback, or is he just some guy?
A placeholder.
Is he just some guy who's going to be out there that we put the money in, we've put the effort in, but we're going to be a run-first team, and we're going to rely entirely on the run, and we're just going to hope that he doesn't lose the game?
Well, I won't disagree with you there in that the Jets need to be a run-first team, because Sanchez has really given you no inclination this year. He can be a pass-first quarterback or a wide-open offense that he could run that effectively without turning the ball over like crazy or without going three and out virtually every single possession. That being said, if the Jets are to be a run-first offense again, they need to get Sean Green some help because he can't carry the load by himself. I think that was a gross overestimation of his abilities by really not coming into the season with a capable backup, with Danny Tomlinson really just a third-down back at this stage of his career, and he's probably gone now anyway. But with Sperano, again, everybody knows that Sanchez, he's not the focal point of the offense, but he's the one that all eyes are on. He's the guy that you really need to step up. So why not hire somebody like, for an example, Jim Fassel, who was known as a quarterback guru in his time in the NFL? Why not hire a guy like that as your offensive coordinator, a guy who can really help out Sanchez, instead of Sperano, who, when he had his best success over in Miami, his quarterback was Chad Pennington. Yeah. Chad Pennington didn't really need any development at that point. And he had Chad Henne in Miami as well. Chad Henne really didn't develop either. He's generally considered a bust. So yeah, this guy really doesn't have a quarterback track history.
No, and he does. And it surprised me when you saw Schottenheimer resign, and I put air quotes in resign because basically someone must have told him, look, you're getting
somebody
fired.
Somebody kicked him out the door.
You're getting fired or you're resigning. You can walk out on your terms or on ours. And I think he...
Most likely.
But Sperano really has not had any good quarterback success. And when there's guys out there and there was talks about Todd Haley coming into the fold. Todd Haley, a great quarterback coach. Jim Fassel, as you said, a great quarterback coach. Guys who can mold Sanchez into the quarterback that as the number 5 overall pick is projected to be. But now, then you go out and you hire Sperano. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's a Rex Ryan guy in the sense that he's a big personality. He's tough.
He's not the sunglasses on.
Exactly.
He's got the name, the whole deal.
He's a big guy himself. I mean, it's one of those.
Jets have the heavyweight class of the coaching staffs in the world.
Yeah, the training staff needs to go on the coaching, too. But both of those guys, they have the same mindset, but that mindset isn't for Sanchez.
Yeah.
And I'm really starting to wonder whether this is the start of... whether this is the start of the downfall of Sanchez with the players going.
I think it might have started this year.
Well, yeah. But I mean, well, officially. But
officially,
I mean, officially,
yeah.
With.
The grace period
the one
is
thing
over.
That has always, the one thing that's always been consistent, whether or not it's the media or whether it's the players or whatever, the one consistent's been that the coach, that Rex Ryan has always said, Mark Sanchez, my quarterback, this is my guy, we're riding him, he's going to be our franchise quarterback, he's going to be the next Joe Namath. But now this is kind of like that first talk, like maybe we're wrong. Like we've latched our buggy to the wrong horse or whatever it is.
But
yeah.
It certainly seems like a lot of the players in that locker room are openly questioning at this point whether Sanchez can be that guy. As again, according to that Daily News article that broke earlier this week, well, of the anonymous players who didn't want to be named in the Jets locker room, some
surprise,
called into question.
They didn't want to be named.
Well, that's not a stunner at all. God knows that Jets locker room has enough problems right now. The last thing you need is for half the locker room to be divided. Half of it for Sanchez, half of it against Sanchez, and openly divided at that. So you can kind of understand why they didn't want to be named. But some of them saying they question his work ethic, they question his toughness, they just question flat out his ability to get it done, that basically they're saying he's delusional, that he thinks he's improving, and he's not.
Yeah.
So certainly a lot of questions right now. The wide receivers are all, I wouldn't be surprised if they might have been one of those anonymous sources if I had to get, because they're probably not too happy with Sanchez right now. So really the question is, are they right?
I think
at least partially.
I mean, obviously, we are outside of the fold here.
So
I
don't know how hard
he
works.
I mean, that work ethic and all the other stuff, we can't discuss on that. Toughness, I mean, he's played every single game.
Yeah.
So
I don't question toughness. He's taken some monster hits and he keeps
coming
back.
I've seen him get wrecked.
Courtesy of Wayne Hunter.
Yeah, and I've seen him stand right back up and get a play action the next play.
And then go eat a hot dog.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that too. Well, that's how he refuels himself. Yeah. That's like
breakfast of champions.
But there's no way. I'm not going to call out on his toughness. I'm not going to call out on his work ethic because I don't know it well enough.
Yeah.
But simply by performance, there's no doubt that he has underperformed. I mean, when your first 2 years in the league, yes, you know, like you're a rookie, you're a sophomore, you can have those type of years where, you know, you're still kind of feeling yourself out. The third year is where you really need to start stepping up, and you really saw no big improvement this year.
He got worse.
If anything,
as the season went on, he got worse.
If anything, you saw him take a step backwards, and that's what I think a lot of the players are seeing, and that's what I think a lot of them are criticizing about. Whether their critiques are founded or not, performance-wise, he probably took a step backwards this year, and that's not the way this team that has went to back-to-back AFC championship games and now misses the playoffs. You're not supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think the team is a reflection of the quarterback, and right now there's a lot of question marks.
Well, the Jets are clearly a team that is in a whole heap of trouble right now. The locker room is, I wouldn't exactly say they have a ton of chemistry right now. The quarterback is in question. The coaching staff is in question. Everybody is in question there. But one team that there aren't a lot of questions about right now and seems to be hitting their stride is the New York Giants, who they beat the Atlanta Falcons last week in the wild card round of the NFL playoffs. Beat them convincingly, 24-2. That's an absolute beatdown. And this week they go into Lambeau Field and take on the 15-1 Green Bay Packers, who had a bye week last week. So it started off with Steve Gray's, or I think it's Mac Rosenberg's Weekly Giants report this week.